Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio in this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Thursday, August 3rd, 2023. South Sudanese authorities lift the suspension of the United Nations-run Radio Miraya.
Today we received the guarantee that our frequency will be retained as Radio Miraya's frequency and restrictions on our coverage of government-related events will be removed.
And a measles outbreak hits Ayodhya County in South Sudan's Jonglei State.
The outbreak is very high and the health situation is not good.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's National Communication and Media Authority today lifted a years-long suspension on UN-run Radio Miraya. Government officials say the order was lifted after Radio Miraya registered with the media authority as required by law. Juliana Shiapai reports for VOA from Juba.
The South Sudan Media Authority says it suspended Radio Miraya on March 9, 2018, for what it describes as persistent non-compliance and refusal to be regulated under the media laws of South Sudan. The government mainly wanted Radio Miraya to register with the media authority. Officials of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, urged that there was no need for Radio Miraya to be registered as a separate entity because it's part of UNMISS, which operates under the status of force agreement signed between the government of South Sudan and the UN. Despite the suspension, the radio continued to operate without interruption, but its reporters were often barred from covering government-organized events and press conferences. South Sudan Information Minister Michael McQuay says Radio Miraya continued to operate illegally, but UNMISS and the government have now reached an agreement to lift the suspension.
People should conform with the laws of the country in which you are operating. And that is all. It is a free service. Registration is free. Frequency issued free. And thereafter, you operate freely. I'm sure the journalists who attended this hall last time, and I asked if there anybody from UNMISS, and they said, here I am, from Raya FM, that journalists would be free now to attend.
UNMISS Chief Nicholas Haysom says a recent report conducted by an independent researcher shows many South Sudanese cited Radio Miraya as their primary source of news and information, with more than 80% listening on a daily basis. Still, he says he's glad the order was lifted.
Today, we received the guarantee that our frequency will be retained as Radio Miraya's frequency and restrictions on our coverage of government-related events will be removed. The importance of Radio Miraya cannot be overstated, especially as the nation prepares to organize free, fair, and credible elections in December 2024. We have been requested by the government to lend our support to preparations for the electoral process.
Napoleon Adok, Director General of the National Communication Authority, says there are some technicalities the authority will have to address with UNMISS and Radio Miraya operators to ensure the relay stations across the country works together to protect national sovereignty.
With this lifting today, the United Nations has complied with registration of these frequencies as stated by media authority, and we in therefore complied with this requirement to issue and assign the spectrums, which is FM band at 200 kilohertz. This is what we have issued, a certificate, and the certificate will be valid for 1 year.
Radio Miraya reporters are now allowed to cover government events. Information Minister Michael McQuay insists the government is committed to promoting press freedom, freedom of expression, and media development as a fundamental human right. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
Health officials are raising concern over an outbreak of measles in Jonggol State's Ayot County. A state health official says more than 34 cases, including 9 deaths, have been recorded in Ayot since last month. Authorities say they are responding to the outbreak. For VOA News, Deng Ai Deng reports from Bor.
Ayot County Health Director Makir Mathot Nguyen says the outbreak was declared after samples sent to the National Public Health Laboratory in Juba recently tested positive for the highly contagious viral disease.
The outbreak is very high and the health situation is not good. It's somehow poor. Even yesterday in the village called care, 5 children passed away due to
Nguyen says he has formed a task force to manage the outbreak by providing first aid and helping the patients access health facilities. He says the state is also educating the public about measles. Machot Kweth Kulang, the Director General in the Jonglei State Health Ministry, says health officials are preparing to launch a mass vaccination in the area.
When measles case arise, we communicate to our county health department and also WHO, which are on the ground, then plus CMS, Christian Mission Aid. The vaccination in the facility is ongoing. And also Mid-Air came in, and then they also do an assessment, and then they will do a mass vaccination, because the people who are coming from Sudan are the ones that has a lot of measles cases.
Kulang says a majority of the measles cases are among returnees and refugees who fled violence in Sudan. Mabior Kir Kudior is Chief of Planning and Information at the National Public Health Emergency Operations Center at the National Health Ministry in Juba. Kudior says a nationwide effort is underway to manage and control the spread of the disease.
The National Ministry of Health launched nationwide measles vaccination campaign that cover all the 80 counties of South Sudan and other 3 administrative areas. Currently, we have some major outbreaks that are all confirmed by some of the counties. Warap is one of them. In Jonglei State, we have Ayot, that is one of the counties that reported the measles outbreak. Nyerol also is one of them. And Reng reported some cases.
Kudior says measles cases continue to rise despite the preventive measles campaigns held in April through May, which targeted over 2.5 million children across the country. Dr. Agri Kajuka Bategreza is head of the Emergency Preparedness and Response Team at the WHO in South Sudan. Dr. Bategreza says the WHO is providing technical support by training local staff to ensure they follow proper treatment protocols for measles cases.
We are providing experts in investigation of the cases, experts in surveillance of the disease, experts in planning for vaccination, and we support the ministry to do what we call micro planning in order to guide what needs to be done where.
Dr. Bategreza says WHO also provides financial support to ensure vaccinations are carried out across the country, as well as awareness campaigns.
When you are doing measles vaccination, you need to train people, you need to transport people, and you need to pay people who are doing the vaccination. So those are the support that WHO we provide to the Ministry of Health in order to do respond to this measles situation in the country.
South Sudan's national ministry declared an outbreak of measles following a rise in the number of confirmed cases in December last year. It says a total of 4,898 suspected cases of measles have been reported. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
From Bor, we move to Juba, where some Sudanese refugees in South Sudan say both Sudan Armed Forces and the paramilitary rapid support forces stole their belongings during their journey to find safety in South Sudan. Officials with both military groups deny their forces are involved in looting. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar has more for VOA from Juba.
27-year-old Sudanese refugee Amani Abdallah who is sheltering at the Gorom refugee camp near Juba, says soldiers routinely extorted money from refugees along the way to South Sudan.
I came from Niala through the hand. We got robbed on the way and our things were taken. The second day from the hand to Mushale. And again, we got a lot of challenges at every checkpoint. We were asked to pay. We were denied passage. For no reason, they asked for money. And we have been paying until our money is finished.
24-year-old Mohammed Mahmoud, another Sudanese refugee at Gorom refugee camp, says the road to South Sudan was not easy as both the Sudan armed forces and the RSF robbed fleeing civilians.
They took from me my things and even wounded my sister. This is what happened when I left Khartoum to Sennar, a very safe place. The Sudanese army forces accused me of being a member of the rapid support forces and also took my belongings.
Nabil Abdallah, a spokesperson for the Sudan Armed Forces, says the army is a professional force of 100 years and cannot loot civilians' property. But it is a different story for RSF.
Yani, Hummel are committing yani, portions against civilians in Sudan, looting their properties. Since the beginning of this war, from 15th of April up to now, so it is incorrect to say that SAF is looting civilians' properties.
Faria Abdallah, another Sudanese refugee at Gorom refugee camp, also says the RSF stole her belongings in Sudan.
Soldiers of the rapid support forces harassed us badly. They took all our things, leaving us with completely nothing. We came here with our own hands. They took our bags. They took money from us. They took our phones. We just came here empty-handed. But with the grace of God, we managed to arrive here.
Ibrahim Mukair, who calls himself the foreign relations advisor for the RSF, dismissed the allegations.
So I don't believe that the RSF would do that. We are an organized military force. We are a governmental force, okay? We have our courts, we have our laws that prevent that. We are the only military power in the area who have a human rights unit established 2019. You got me? And also there is a directive from the our general, Doglo, that we have a special committee for violations, you know, to follow such things.
Mukair says civilians should report cases of looting to RSF leaders as soon as they happened. Hundreds of thousands of Sudanese have fled to neighboring countries since the fighting broke out on April 15th. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, former U.S. President Donald Trump is expected in court today. Stay tuned for that story after this break.
VOA Africa is celebrating its 60th anniversary on Friday. Do you want to watch our celebration? We have a special live stream airing from 1200 to 1300 UTC. To watch, log on to voaafrica.com, VOA Africa Facebook and YouTube pages. Join us celebrating VOA Africa's 60th anniversary.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Former U.S. President Donald Trump is due to appear in court today after a grand jury in Washington, D.C. accused him of illegally trying to overturn the results of the 2020 presidential elections. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson has more for VOA from Washington.
A third indictment for former President Donald Trump. This time in Washington, for illegally trying to overturn his 2020 election defeat. Efforts that prosecutors say inspired many of his supporters to attack the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. Jack Smith is the special counsel for the U.S. Department of Justice.
The attack on our nation's capital on January 6, 2021, was an unprecedented assault on the seat of American democracy. As described in the indictment, it was fueled by lies. Lies by the defendant.
Trump will be arraigned in court Thursday in Washington, where a grand jury of American citizens indicted the former president as part of a Justice Department investigation. The four-count indictment accuses Trump of conspiracy to violate Americans' right to vote, conspiracy to defraud the government, obstructing an official proceeding, and conspiring to obstruct an official proceeding. The nation's top law enforcement official, U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
Mr. Smith and his team of experienced, principled, career agents and prosecutors have followed the facts and the law wherever they lead.
Trump, currently the frontrunner for the 2024 Republican presidential nomination, released a statement from his campaign describing the charges as persecutions of President Trump, reminiscent of Nazi Germany and the former Soviet Union. Rudy Giuliani is a former attorney for Trump.
What they did here is an abomination that will live in history as one of the worst violations of free speech ever.
But one analyst said the charges are related to Trump's actions encouraging his followers to storm the U.S. Capitol. Cheryl Bader is the associate professor of law at Fordham University School of Law.
We have a First Amendment right to be protected in our speech, and particularly political speech is afforded the highest degree of protection. But the indictment shows that Trump was not just lying about election fraud, but he used those lies in order to try to subvert the will of the people and to actually overturn the results of a lawful election.
Lawmakers who served on the January 6th committee investigating Trump's involvement said a fair trial will demonstrate the United States' commitment to the rule of law. And some American voters say the charges are overdue. Voter Jordan Tellez is a resident of New York City.
I think it's an embarrassment for the country. I mean, that's the former president. He was just indicted on election fraud. It's pretty embarrassing, isn't it?
Trump accused prosecutors of timing the charges to distract attention from the ongoing legal troubles of Hunter Biden, the son of his anticipated 2024 election rival, President Joe Biden. Meanwhile, Trump has also been indicted on unrelated charges in New York and Florida involving the mishandling of classified documents and campaign fraud, and could face even more charges in Georgia in relation to 2020 election fraud. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Washington.
As Voice of America's English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary this Friday, I spoke with Michael Atit, VOA Stringer, who is currently in the South Sudanese capital, Juba. He shared his journey with the service and his reflections as we mark this milestone here at VOA.
I joined the Voice of America in July 2013. I was based in WOW, so they contacted me as I was also working for a local radio station there in WOW. So they reached out to me, and I went through the normal procedures for interview, and I was selected.
Yes, you worked for VOA in WOW before you came to Washington, D.C. to do a fellowship here. Your journey has been quite similar to mine. You came to Washington, you went back to South Sudan, you reported from there. You went to Khartoum, you reported from Khartoum during the revolution that toppled Bashir, 2018, 2019, and you stayed until the current outbreak of war. You had to evacuate from Khartoum to Port Sudan, and only very recently you went back to Juba, where you're reporting from right now. You must have had moments of joy, moments of pride, moments of difficulty and even danger throughout your journey. Tell me about some of those.
Yes, of course, I started from WOW, as I mentioned, and just 5 months away from the 2013, conflict in South Sudan. That was the first challenge I encounter, even though the war was in Juba, but it affects all the state. So it put me in a situation of how do I report a conflict situation? How do I focus on balancing my story? How do I ensure that the story that I report have an impact? The story that does not incite violence, the story that contribute to the peace and development in the country. So that was my first encounter with the tent situation. And one of the milestones also I would remember is when the South Sudanese warring parties were for peace negotiation, I was in Khartoum. So Khartoum was hosting the peace process, and I was lucky to get access to the venue of the peace talks. So I met a lot of these government officials, whether from the government or from the opposition by then. As you mentioned also, one of the milestones also in my reporting is being in Khartoum and reporting about the revolution, about the Sudan revolution. It was not something easy, and given the situation, the press environment in Sudan, and I was, able to contribute with whatever I could to give that image, what is happening in Sudan, what is happening with the peace process, the constitutional document, and all the negotiations that were going on between the civil political parties and the Sudanese military council by then. And I also managed to stay in Khartoum till the war broke out. Reporting about war also, with the experience I have in South Sudan and with the contacts that I have built throughout the past 3 or 4 years in Khartoum, that helped me a lot, in reaching out to the right sources. That I talked to them, I talked to government officials, I talked to military officials, civil societies, Sudanese revolutionaries, the resistance committees. All those are part and partial of this process in Sudan.
On this 60th anniversary of Voice of America's English to Africa service, how do you feel being part of the service? What are your reflections?
Sincerely, Voice of America has built, has built Michael a lot. Voice of America gave me an opportunity of deepening my profession. It has given me an opportunity of meeting a lot of, veteran journalists, meeting them, across the globe. During my stay, my fellowship in Washington, I met a lot of veteran journalists whom I used to hear them only on radio. But now, I'm meeting them face to face, chatting with them, talking with them, discussing issues regarding the journalism, especially in Africa. So for me, Voice of America is very much helpful, was very much helpful to me. And I really thank the administration of the VOA for this opportunity.
That's VOA stringer Michael Atid. He was speaking with me from Juba this past hour. And as you just heard, VOA's English to Africa service celebrates its 60th anniversary tomorrow. Help us celebrate by sharing your thoughts on our programs. Send us a voice message or a text to this WhatsApp number, +1 202-258-3076. Tell us what your favorite program is, or let us know about a particular news story that you connected with. Recall a favorite memory about VOA Africa and tell us what stories you think we should cover or how we can improve. That number again is +1 202-258-3076. And thanks for 60 years of support. and hear some voices from our fans on the ground in South Sudan expressing their feelings on this 60th anniversary of VOA's English to Africa service.
My favorite program in VOA is South Sudan in Focus. This is my favorite program because it covers a lot of stories, a lot of events, a lot of actually things that are making us to progress in all what we do and all what we get to know more about in South Sudan. So South Sudan in Focus is my favorite program because it is reliable and has accurate information. Yes, I would like VOA to cover post-marriages and early child marriages because at the site where I work, there are a lot of these cases that are happening now, every now and then, and these young girls are actually being put at risk. I would like also VOA to cover the news about the upcoming elections that is going to kick off in 2024. So I like VOA to cover more about it because we season, we are eager actually to know much more about the election which are going to come. And they will be actually telling us the accurate and reliable information because some of us will not be at the site or will not be at the polling station. We'll just be at home. We'll just be listening to VOA.
First of all, I would like to give my gratitude and say happy 60th anniversary to all listeners of the VOA across the world and South Sudan as well. I would like to also give my appreciation to the management for the good programs that they used to give. Mostly I preferred South Sudan Focus, that we always receive our news. It has connected us with the other different part of the world, and it also helps us to know what is going on inside South Sudan. This is a wonderful job, and I would like to say keep it up. We will always be ready and hopeful to hear about the events happening around us and also see what is happening around the region, like some countries in East Africa and the rest of the world. I would like to tell the management, if possible, the news that need to be broadcasted all the times should be like South Sudan in Focus, as well as they have been doing it. And we also need this, not only like in 30 minutes, which ends like from 8:30 up to 9 p.m. Around 10 p.m., this one covered everything.
Thank you so much. My favorite program is South Sudan Focus, because South Sudan Focus always, to us in Africa, particularly South Sudan, it aware people what is going on in the nationwide as a whole. We need to have economics to be heard what is going on in our nation. We have now economic crisis in South Sudan, of which everybody is not afford the life. So we need that one to be put as a foreground so that everybody should know what is going on in the nation.
All right.
Sudanese Chat. And that's all we have for you this Thursday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with Dynamic and the song Jere Jere.
Sana nami lotuko,
lotuko, lotuko, yeah.
Do you faba ja fibe,
fibe, fibe.
Asana nami lokoya,
lokoya, lokoya, ya.
Jere jere bidunia de,
jere jere.
Sivu na si sambala,
jere jere.
Suata ta dunia de,
mama, suata.
Nasi mutu sambala.
We've been listening to Dynamic and the song Jere Jere. I am your host, Nabil Biagio in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Patrick Dea, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Suwata tatuya.